Hey guys, welcome back to another episode for the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah.
What up guys, it's Sam.
What's going on guys, it's Fulton.
And you guys are listening to episode 21. We're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight. We're going to be talking about game 6 victory for the Blazers, tying it up 3-3. But before we get into that, make sure to follow Yamble Sports, as now we will be partnering with them. Their Twitter is Yamble Sports. You guys can find out about their app that you guys can download in the iTunes store. And it's a great app where you guys, it's a stakes app where you choose and you try to guess on stakes in the game. Yeah, it's really fun, keeps you engaged in the game, so make sure to check it out. So yeah, let's just dive right into this podcast. I mean, what was your initial thoughts on the 119-108 victory, Sam?
Honestly, I loved it. The way we played, we had great D, solid D. I mean, Zach off the bench definitely was the biggest upper for me on defense especially, but I'm just happy we came out with the W.
Yeah, what was your initial thoughts on that, Fulton?
Yeah, started the game off scaring me in the first quarter, gave me a lot of heart attacks with our early passes and them being able to score off Will just like they did in game 5, but we definitely picked it up in the second quarter, and Dame coming alive in the third just really sparked us.
Exactly, and me and Fulton were talking about this a little bit behind the scenes. I mean, who else was worried? I mean, comment on the pod when we post it. Who else was worried about when we got to that slow start in the first quarter? I mean, it looked like another slow start, another poor shooting first quarter. I mean, Fulton, were you worried with the palms sweating a little bit after that first quarter?
Oh, yes, very, very. It's just not what we want to see when just coming off that game. It's just not... not ideal when it's Dame, you know, going off like he did in Oklahoma and putting off game 1 like he did in Denver. It's just not like him to come back in our home court and play like he did in the first quarter, but came back, stepped it up, and really proved himself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he came back in a big way. So let's talk about a little stats here. I mean, Dame, 32 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, he's yet to shoot 50% in the series yet. I mean, he shot 11 of 23 last night. It's still an efficient night. You got to think there's a 50% shooting night for Dame in this series. And if it's game 7, that would be awesome. I mean, that's the game you have to do it. So, I mean, 6 of 13 from 3 from him. I mean, it was just the night where you could tell Dame was really not going to let the Blazers lose. And he showed his superstar mentality, superstar-like player. I mean, superstars close out. I mean, they do. They close out games. He wasn't going to let Denver back in this game. And, I mean, I always feel comfortable when Dame's on the court. It's weird. It's like a weird... it's whenever Dame's on the court... of course, like, every Blazer fan probably feels like this, but, like... literally, when Dame's on the court, I'm always... there's something in the back of my head. I mean, Dame can really pull something off here. I mean, he even said today... I mean, he even said after the game, someone asked him if he takes long shots to get the crowd in it. And I didn't really think about that, at like, the whole time him shooting these shots. I'm just saying, like, that's a good shot. I don't really think of it of him thinking, oh, I need to come and get this shot because I want to get the crowd in it. He said Terry Stotts sometimes tells him during timeouts that take a shot, get the crowd going. And I mean, yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think of it that way at all. And he really does take those shots for the crowd. He said we have a great home court, which we do. And, I mean, hell, if he takes those shots and the crowd gets going, props to him. I mean, he did what he needed to do.
Makes a lot of sense when you're shooting 9 of 13 in the playoffs from 35-plus.
Yeah, that's more than any other NBA team in the NBA combined. Yeah. I mean, in the playoffs combined.
Yeah.
Yikes. Stupid. Yeah, that's just... yeah, I mean, you can talk about Dame for the whole podcast, so we'll try to spread it out. I mean, we'll talk about another great stat sheet from here. CJ McCollum. I mean... 30 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 12 of 24 from the field. I mean, again, CJ is just one of those guys that gives you the buckets when you need them. And he's really created a gene for himself. I mean, last year's playoffs wasn't a good playoffs for him. I mean, that's obvious. People have talked about it. But he's really grown into some role where he's making clutch shots. And clutch shots that I didn't think he was making at all last year. And he's really showed some growth. Wow. If he's on any other team, I mean, if he plays like he did in the playoffs this year, next season, he's an all-star. I don't care. He has to be.
I feel you. He's just going, I mean, definitely having his best year right now, I would say.
Yes, he is.
And, I mean, in the playoffs, he's definitely just showing himself. What do you think?
Playoffs, his consistency is out of this world. Like, he's never shown this much consistency in his whole career. And for it to come in no bigger time ever in Blazer, you know, playoff in, like, the last decade or so, it really helps us, you know, get that momentum when Dame is slacking off like he did a little bit in these first couple games. And, you know, him and Rodney, like we're going to talk about soon, it's just those guys sparking us and giving us that extra momentum that Dame needs to pursue what we want.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about the man of the night, to me, the MVP of the game, MVP of this series. And that's straight up MVP of the series, Rodney Hood, like Fulton just said. 25 points off the bench. Wow. I mean, talk about pulling through in a way. Yeah. And the guy that was struggling to find playing time on a depleted Cavs roster. Not a roster. If he played like this last year, they definitely play way better against Golden State. And he said it was a confidence thing with him. He's too hard on himself, and I don't want him to be hard on himself because he's balling this series. 16 points per game this series. I mean, he had 16 points the entire OKC series.
Yeah, that's true. Damn.
I mean, yeah. He's averaging 16 per game against Denver. He has a matchup that he likes. Denver does not know what to do with him. Not at all. I mean, they don't have any answer. They can't put Jamal on CJ or Dame. He will get torched the whole game. Yeah. And it will break him down on offense. So they try to hide him. They try to make him play like a free safety. They try to make him lay off CJ. Aminu and Harkless. And you got to give props to Terry Stotts for tonight. What a hell of a job. Last night, a hell of a job. I mean, he really... For a guy that's struggled to really break lineups and break trust with people because he's gained trust with Aminu and Harkless, I mean, what were your thoughts on Terry Stotts' lineups last night, Fulton?
Definitely what we need in Game 7 in order to, you know, win, honestly. It's honestly what we needed. We needed to go bigger. Aminu was getting torched by Paul Millsap, whether we want to admit it or not, and just the defense that Turner can bring off the bench and Aminu can bring off the bench, you know, even if we ever got there. But just the way that Zach can face up on Paul Millsap is crucial to us getting that victory on Sunday.
Exactly. And Aminu is this. There's nothing to Aminu. I mean, he does what he needs to do. When his shot's not going, I'm sorry. I mean, like, you love him, but when your shot's not going to Aminu, I'm sorry. You're doing, if you're not doing the other things, like, there's no place to play. And you, in this league, you can't have three guys that can't shoot on the court anymore. You can't.
No.
You can't. There's no spacing. Teams pack the middle. And it shows. And it's like the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors, like, we'll talk about them later. But when they go from Kevin Durant being in the lineup, they have three shooters automatically in their lineup. That's lethal. Three lethal shooters. When he goes out, they have two shooters. They put Andrew Bogut in. There's only three shooters. Steph and Clay are less dimensional there because they're just going to focus all on them. So it's the same thing with the Blazers, and that's where Rodney Hood is really stepping up. And that's when the Blazers plateau, their weakness, the entire Dame era. And for them to get a player that gave them 25 points in the playoffs, if I would be ecstatic if he gave us 25 points in a regular season game. He gave us this in a Game 6 elimination game. Wow, what a turnaround for Rodney Hood. And we'll get to him a little bit more. But let's move on. I mean, the Nuggets, if they're going to win Game 7, I mean, Jamal Murray has to shoot more efficient for them. I mean, he had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 7 of 20. And when he's not shooting well, they're not winning. And that's just facts.
Yeah, that's 100%. I feel you.
Like, and, yeah, I mean,
he can't find a rhythm, and he just can't really find anything. I mean, he did have, what, 10 rebounds? I mean,
yeah, he was really on the boards for some week. I don't even want to talk about offense rebounds with this team. it's been just a problem. But, I mean, tell me, Sam, what's your thoughts about Murray this entire series? I mean, do you think Game 7 he goes off? I mean, what do you think he does in Game 7?
I mean, it's scary because they are going to be at home. He has obviously played a little bit better at home this series. I think I don't know. I think he has potential to get 30, but if he gets 30 and Dame and CJ both gets 30, we're still in it. So
okay, yeah, and that's fair. I think he doesn't have a good game. I don't. I think they really lock in on him and Millsap the entire game. I think they let Jokic do what he wants. And that's what the Spurs did. It worked for them. I mean, they completely took Murray out of some games. And those were the games that Denver lost. And if I'm telling you, Murray is the person that you have to stop on that team. If he gets going and the pick and roll game gets going, there's no stopping it. I mean, because if their weak side shooters are making shots, there's no stopping that team. Because they're just going to pick and roll. They're going to force more help on the pick and roll on Jokic. They're going to double team Jokic in the pick and roll. And then Jokic is a hell of a passer, so he'll just pass it to the weak side and not be a three. So it's iffy here. I mean, the Nuggets really, I mean, this game two, they shot, what, 20%? So it's not like they're incapable of not shooting well at home. So you got to think about that. I mean, what's your thoughts on game seven overall? I mean, we're talking about stats, but what's your thoughts on Fulton?
Definitely being like having to stop the pick and roll is probably the biggest stressor that Terry's probably breaking down in these couple days. Because in all reality, that's our biggest weakness when it comes to, you know, not being able to stop their runs and not being able to capitalize off the big stops that we even get. Because that pick and roll just wears us down so much, and it wears our confidence down, and we can't get anything going on the other end. And that means Jamal's getting going, and that's not good for us.
Yeah, and to add to that, with this team, I think you can't start where it's 2-10. It's two, like, I mean, they started like that game six, game five, two back-to-back games where it was just like, we had to come from nine down right away. You don't want to start a game seven, especially climbing, especially in a place where it's elevation. You know what, all about that with Denver, and you want to have a good start. Dame, if there's a game for Dame to just do something in the first quarter and just to absolutely go off, it's absolutely this game. Play Dame. If it doesn't go into overtime, knock on wood, please don't go into overtime. Just please let the Blazers win. But if it goes anywhere near there, Dame has to play 42, 43 minutes out of 48. What's your thoughts, Sam?
I mean, I honestly agree with pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, 43 minutes, he has to play.
Yeah, he's got to play a long game, but he's got to be able to stay in the game.
I mean, he has to stay off foul trouble. I mean, against OKC, CJ gets into foul trouble, but Dame plays the entire first half. And, I mean, he scored 34 in the first half. So, yeah, I mean, he's capable.
Yeah, I fully believe that Dame needs to play 40-plus. I believe Rodney needs to play 35-plus. And I do believe Zach needs to play at least 30.
Yeah. And, I mean, sorry, I really think if Dame and CJ play 40-plus, I don't know where they go with Cancer. I mean, he's a if for play. If Zach's going off and he's doing what he did in last game, I mean, sure, keep him out. I don't know if they like the matchup with Zach on Jokic. I don't know entirely that, but
I'm just saying with that matchup versus Paul, like, that's crucial for us because Paul's been putting up 20 on us each game.
Yeah, and he's 17. They relatively held him in check tonight. And for a guy that I think he averaged, what, 13 in the regular season, something just... He really, I don't know, he does not play well against size. And the Spurs had size on them the whole series. So that's why the Spurs played well. And Aminu, I mean, like we've said earlier, he has not played well on Millsap. So that's where Stotts comes with the Hood and Zach pairing. He's pairing them in very, like, crucial moments. He's trusting the bench and... You got to give credit to Stotts for something. He really rides his bench really high, and he plays them for long stints that a lot of coaches wouldn't.
Yeah, and it's because he has so much confidence in him. Like Ronnie Hill was saying, the confidence that he has in him is instilled with him for some reason, and he's getting minutes in the clutch, and he's obviously hitting shots. So, I mean, it's definitely helping him.
Yeah, and... With Stotts making changes like this, only playing Harkless and Aminu, Oh, yeah. Harkless and Aminu, 17 minutes, both. And these are guys that played 40-something, 50-something minutes in the four overtime win, game three. And, yeah, I mean, that's a gut call. That's a gut call by Stotts, and you got to give it to him. I mean, he has to do that in game seven. He has to do it. I mean, Zach has to do what he did. He has to play good on Millsap. And the guy that you don't even mention about last night is Evan Turner. I mean, something you get really frustrated with Evan Turner easily because he turns over the ball. Yes. But for someone that didn't take a shot and didn't score, but to make an impact like he did, I'll take it. And he's pretty much the 10 man right now, right?
Yeah.
He's a 10 man. I think Seth, Rodney, and Zach, and
I think he bumps Jake out.
Yeah, I think he's nine. Yeah. But anyways, for the nine man to give you seven assists and seven rebounds and a crucial game six win, yeah, I'll take it. And he's going to need something like that again. He's going to need to play good defense on Millsap. I mean, he's really showed some resilience on Millsap, and you got to give it to him. I mean, you don't come into this series thinking Evan Turner is going to make a big impact, and he hasn't made the biggest impact in the playoffs yet. But if he does that, I'll take it any day. So let's move on a little bit. We'll talk about this. Zach Collins, five blocks, career high in the playoffs. I mean, career high overall. And that comes in the playoffs. I mean, does Zach grow up in front of your eyes? I mean, he's really grown up in front of my eyes. I mean, last game he kept himself out of foul trouble. I mean, what's your big things with Zach for game seven? I mean, what do you think he needs to bring?
Yeah, he's definitely grown this series. I think this series alone, he's grown immensely as an NBA player. But I saw flashes of him when I saw him in the national championship game for Gonzaga. I saw these aggressive, you know, post moves that he had. I saw his jump shot. I saw his defensive ability. And it's just now coming on the NBA stage, and it's really coming in no perfect time for us, no better time. It's just need it for game seven.
Yep.
It's a must.
You need to get those weak. I mean, he has to talk his shit. I mean, he has to talk his talk, and he is a dog, and he'll get down with anyone. And he saw it. I mean, he told Jokic to back the F up off Curry. Yes, it was off Curry. Oh, no, it was off Cantor. But, you know, he's really about it. And for someone, he's from Las Vegas, and for a guy that looks like a pretty boy like him, has the hair slicked over, he's really about it. And I've been surprised. He's a rook. And, I mean, he was a rook last year, and he was standing up to superstars in their mouth, and he's like, what, I'm still here. So, I mean, he's going to be a dog in this league, a dog. And he would honestly get along with the Jailblazers. I swear to God, he would.
Definitely. I mean, he's just a scrapper for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that Las Vegas mentality obviously has got to him, and that's a great mentality to have. He's going to bring in game five. I mean, game seven, I already know it. And you got to get that from Zach. I mean, 14 points from him, that's just a plus. And the one thing I really want to predicate is this team needs to not let the Denver role players do anything at all. I mean, Will Barton had 7 points last game. He strolled together two like 15 points plus like game four, game five. And you can't let role players like Barton, Beasley, or Plumlee. Yeah, he didn't do anything. If those three guys, I mean, Monte hasn't done nothing.
Monte's not going to spark in game seven of the Western Conference semifinals.
Yeah, no. Sorry. No. And, yeah, role players do play better at home, but you got to eliminate them. Our bench has to outscore them, and I think we will. And so we'll talk about something else here. What's your game seven predictions? I'll go first, and I'm going to try to be the most non-biased I can be here. I truly do think the Blazers come away at the W. I think there's some more motivation with the Denver radio guys saying something about Nurk, saying kick him in the shin. I think Dame's seeing that. I don't think that sits well with him at all. And I think the whole flipping off thing with MPJ, yeah. Someone who's literally, I mean, yeah, MPJ is a hell of a high school basketball player. I don't give a damn about that.
Yeah.
Why are you flipping off in a game five when you are not even dressed down? Why? You have some cojones to be doing that.
We shouldn't even be addressing it, honestly.
No, we shouldn't.
He hasn't played a single NBA minute, and we're talking about this right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just extra fuel to the fire for Dame. I mean, it's his first Game 7 of his career. I truly think he pulls together something insane.
Yeah, I think he turns up for sure.
And game seven, 12:30 on Mother's Day. Mothers are going to be hating Sunday for Blazer fans. I mean, watch out, moms, love you. But 12:30, that's no, it's going to be locked in. This, I mean, I truly think Blazers win. And you can, it's so easy to give it to the home team. So easy. Oh, you can take this win. I mean, like, you're at home. I mean, we're one of the best home teams in the league. I mean, but really, you guys have a huge advantage with elevation. No one's played in your arena more than in a time span. Like, we played at Denver 3 times within 2 weeks. I mean, they've got to get a little bit more used to it, but I think we win. I think it's kind of a low-scoring game because I think it's going to be so crazy. But I think Dame does something special. I think he hits something special. I think he hits a clutch shot. I mean, what about you, Sam?
Like I said, I think Dame turns up, but I think it's going to be a little higher scoring, probably about 100, around the hundreds each. And I honestly don't know. It's just a toss up for me. I honestly don't have a choice.
Okay, give your biased answer though.
Biased, I would say Blazers by 6, but
okay. And I will say Blazers by 2, biased answer. And non-biased, I don't see Denver coming out and winning 2 back-to-back Game 7s. I'm sorry, but they're not experienced enough. And we're holding back Fallen here from his prediction here, but they're not experienced enough. I don't think they win back-to-back Game 7s. Especially, you got your luck against Pop, where DeMar DeRozan and Aldridge shot horrible in the first half. And you guys shot just as bad, but you guys had to give or take a couple more buckets. You guys got lucky there, and if the Blazers don't shoot well, sure, I could see Denver winning. But if the Blazers shoot well, no, I don't see Denver winning. What about you, Fallon?
I'm going to be honest. This is hands down the biggest knot I've ever had in my stomach going into a Blazer game in my life. Like, I said that in the going into the OKC series, but now that we're here...
Yeah, dude, it's
and
not
how
right.
This series has gone, it's just, it's another one of those where I'm like, we gotta come out, we gotta show out, we gotta prove that we're here, we gotta prove that we're, you know, not just the small organization that's gonna keep getting there and losing in the second round, losing in the first round. We have the talent, we can do it. Like, it's now or never. Like, it's,
yeah, I mean, so what is it? Is it
non-biased?
Non-biased. You go non-biased first, biased second.
I love you, Blazer fans. I love you all. I'm sorry, but we lose, my non-biased opinion.
Okay.
But my biased opinion, like I said, we don't lose if we control the pick and roll, we control Paul Millsap, and we don't let Jokic get over 35. We win the game.
Okay.
But with my biased opinion, I think if Dame comes out, I think if Rodney puts up another 20, if we give him the minutes that he deserves, I think Zach, if Terry gives him the minutes he deserves, I think Zach's going to shut down Paul Millsap and we win by 8 or 10.
Okay, and that's fair. Okay, I'll ask you this one right before. Why do you lean Denver with your non-biased answer?
Honestly, simply Jokic.
Okay.
In all reality, I love Cantor. I love what he's brought. Like, he's brought so much, you know, tenacity for us this playoff this year. But without Nurkic, that guy is just so good. Like, his passing is unreal. His playmaking is unreal. I think he's now turning the corner of his, you know, elite status.
Okay, I see where you go there. But this team's the youngest team in the playoffs. By far.
I get this. Also young.
Yes, we're also young. And I tell you this, and I can see where you go with Jokic, but And I don't know what I think, like, I can sort of add some type of bias towards my non-biased answer. That's just because who I am. I'm a huge Blazer fan, and so are you. But still, I really think Jokic does his thing. He goes off for 30. He's not going to let them go down easy, and he's going to do his thing. But I think even if he does that, they contain Murray and Millsap. Yes. They win the game. They win the game.
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay, okay. 100%. So right, all right.
But if they don't.
No. Yeah. If Millsap goes off for 20, Murray goes off for 25, yeah. No, we're not winning the game. I'm sorry. You can't let that happen. And which they won't. So we're going to wrap up this pod here. We'll talk about the last thing. Rockets versus Golden State. Yikes for the Rockets. The Rockets lost. And now Golden State's on to the Western Conference Finals without KD. You don't know how long. But let's talk about the Rockets for a second. I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, how are you reacting to that game, Sam?
I mean, I'd be pretty upset that we just played, if I were a Rockets fan, just ISO ball with Harden. Because no KD, I mean, that's a lot more movement on the court. You can do a lot different things, and they obviously didn't take advantage of it.
No, not at all. I mean, what about you, Fulton?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of Rockets fans on Twitter, you know, like their ISO ball with Harden and their kickouts to Eric Gordon, but you just saw why it can't win right there. And it proved because the old Splash Brothers, you know, 2015, 2014, they just came out alive in the second half.
2016.
Just torched them.
Yeah, and I mean, what if the Blazers win Game 7 and you get a Curry versus Curry Western Conference Finals? Wow. I mean, Seth, that's going to give – I could see Seth rallying together, if we played them, some impressive games. And that is just motivation of, like, really saying, like, listen, like, I know I'm not as good as my brother. Like, listen, I'm not going to be as good as him. But if I'm here and I'm giving my team and we beat you, oh, wow. I mean, that's going to be something for Seth. That's motivation for Seth. And Seth hasn't had that type of motivation, like, all playoffs.
Yeah. All right, here's the question then.
Okay.
Seth, if we play them next round, do you think Steph comes up, you know, talks, you know, about trying to stop him if he knows that Seth could, you know, possibly try to do this?
I think Seth really tries to lock up. I really have confidence in Seth during that entire series.
Do you think Steph puts a game plan on their bench when Seth comes in?
Okay. I think he probably tells Sean Livingston something. I don't think Seth wants to see his little brother do something in the Western Conference Finals against him.
No.
So we're going on a little too far. So let's wrap it up here. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Make sure to check out Yamble Sports and check out their app. It's a great app. We're partnering them from now, so you guys will be hearing about them later on. Go Blazers Game 7. We're going to win. I'm totally confident in it. I mean, thank you for tuning in. It's Noah here. Sam's right next to me, and Fallon's right here. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.